Thank you, Joseph. Good morning. A joy as always to be with you. I'm going to ask you to turn this morning to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And as you turn, just knowing that it's Mother's Day and we do have some changes in the schedule, I wanted to mention a couple of things. One, there will be no Youth Alive tonight. And then also the Summer Kids Club will begin at 7 o'clock. Rather than 6:30 this evening, so 7 o'clock for that. And then also, the chapel picnic is right around the corner, June the 2nd, and there are some sign-up sheets if you'd like to bring a dessert or chips or whatever is needed there that might be on that list. The main things will be provided by the chapel, but I'd love for you to be there, and if you'd like to bring something, take advantage of that as well. I remember being a teenager. Can you believe I can remember that? I remember being a teenager. I remember one time, I think the best I can recall, we were practicing maybe for a Christmas program here at the chapel. And I was reading my part. And I remember I came to a word that I knew very well, but I found out that I was pronouncing it wrong. I called it genuine. Now, some of you might still use that word, and if you do, you're probably going to be offended by what I'm going to read next. But here's what I read, not that day, but what I read this week. There are two pronunciations. No, that's wrong too. Two pronunciations of this word with sharp social contrast between them. The usual educated pronunciation is genuine, with the final syllable unstressed. Among some less educated speakers, genuine is commonly pronounced as genuine, with a secondary stress on the final syllable. But I did read this too. Maybe this was what I was doing. The latter pronunciation, genuine, is sometimes used deliberately by educated speakers as for emphasis or humorous effect. So that's probably what I was doing back there as a teenager. I was using it for emphasis or maybe humorous effect. But ever since that time, it's kind of like prostate and prostrate. I always have to think before I use those words, and I have to think before I use genuine, because I may, before the morning is over, use the word genuine. But that, of course, is not very genuine. That would be a faux. Faux, F-A-U-X, some of you got your mom's a Mother's Day present. And there's somebody sitting out there that bought something that was not genuine. You tried to pass it off to your mom like it was a real stone or a real mink stole. How many of you got a mink stole for Mother's Day this year? Probably not too many. We're going to talk about genuine motherhood this morning. Genuine motherhood. There was a lady about 2,000 years ago. Her name was Eunice. She lived in an area over in Asia Minor. It maybe was something like today, the Triad, Greensboro, High Point, and Winston-Salem. They had Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe. And that's the area where she was from. And at some point, she went into labor pains. And she had a little boy, and she named him Timothy. She had no idea that one day her name would be found on the pages of the Bible. Of course, she didn't know anything about the New Testament. It hadn't been written at that time. She knew about the Old Testament, even though they didn't call it that. But we find her here in 2 Timothy chapter 1. And so if you would just join with me, we will pick up and I'll read and you can follow, beginning with verse 3, and we'll read through verse 5. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears that I may be filled with joy. Now, this is Paul, the apostle, writing to Timothy, that boy that was born to Eunice. Now, listen to what Paul writes to him in verse 5. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Wow. What a compliment to this mom. What a word of commendation to this grandmother. That their names will be here in Scripture, that Paul, in speaking to young Timothy, and this is near the end of Paul's life, the last recorded letter that we have that he wrote. And as he writes to Timothy, he has spent a lot of hours, a lot of days, years with this young man, Timothy. And now as he writes to Timothy, he looks back and he says, you know, Timothy, I knew your mom. And I knew your grandmother. And they were women of genuine faith. Genuine faith. Some of your translations, you may have there the word sincere. The thought is authentic, unhypocritical. In fact, in the Greek, literally, this word translated genuine in the New King James, that word literally is not hypocritical. It's hypocritical with the prefix in the Greek that means not or un. It's unhypocritical, it's genuine, it's authentic, it's sincere. And here we find Paul writing to Timothy regarding the genuine faith that was first in his grandmother. Her name was Lois. And then his mother, we've already mentioned, her name was Eunice. And Paul said, you know, Timothy, I'm persuaded that that same faith is in you. Now, we can be sure that it wasn't passed down the line somehow genetically or as a gift was passed at a holiday. It wasn't caught, but it was something that was characteristic of this family, at least with Timothy and his mom and his grandmother. We don't know about his grandfather. His father was a Greek, possibly, likely an unbeliever, but we know that is not true of his mother and his grandmother. We have a lot of mothers here this morning. Many of you stood up. I have a lot of grandmothers here this morning. And I trust that the things that we share together, we're going to take this thought of genuine motherhood and we're going to apply it to three characteristics that the New Testament applies it to. One we find right here in the verse that we just looked at. And there's two other characteristics that the Holy Spirit uses this adjective genuine to characterize. There's only three nouns in the New Testament that carry with it this particular adjective. And we're going to look at those this morning. Maybe you're not a mom. Maybe you've wanted to be a mom and you never could. This applies to you too. In fact, yesterday, my own mother, as I was talking with her and I was sharing with her what I was going to share this morning, she said, well, you know, that's not just for mothers. That's for everybody. So I hope that you will take that to heart as well. So we're going to consider three genuine traits of genuine motherhood with the dual goals of appreciating these attributes in our mothers and other mothers, and also seeking to have them more fully developed in our own lives, especially those who are mothers and grandmothers. So the first thing that we see here, and I've already... I'll let you look at that pretty opening slide there that I thought I was on, and now I'm not. Okay, here we go. The first thing that we see genuine motherhood exemplified through, this comes as no surprise because we just read the verse, it's a genuine faith in God. Again, just for emphasis, we'll read verse 5. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. A genuine faith in God. Well, we find this here in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, and in a few moments we're going to look at another reference where we find it. The only other place we find this adjective and this noun together, it's interestingly and ironically in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. What is faith in God? Here's a simple definition, working definition we'll use this morning. Faith in God is taking God at His Word. Taking God at His Word. Well, let's move ahead and think, well, what does that involve? I want to mention three things that taking God at His Word involves. In other words, if you trust me, if I tell you something and you take me at my word, then you are expressing faith in me. You have faith in me. Well, what about genuine faith in God? What does that involve? Well, first of all, it involves information. If you're going to take God at His word, guess what? You have to know what God says. You have to know what His word says. Or how are you going to take Him at His word if you don't know what His word is? How are you going to believe what He said if you don't know what He said? So first of all, there has to be a knowledge of the information. I believe that in order for there to be that knowledge of what is said, there first of all has to be a desire to know. A desire to know. I think your presence here this morning would communicate, at least to me, in my positive thinking, that you want to know what God said. That may not be why you're here at all, but since I'm sharing the Word, I'm going to kind of convince myself that you really want to know what it is that God said, and that's why you came this morning to hear the Word of God. If you have that desire, I hope that desire leads to a pursuit. You know what? If you only hear the Word of God when you gather here, you're going to miss a lot, you know? We're going to preach every time we open the Word of God. We're going to preach the Word of God. But there's a whole lot here that's going to take a lifetime to get to of preaching. And we still won't get everything. So that means moms, grandmothers, all of us, we need to be in the Word of God, finding out what has God said. And this seems like such a simple thing. Why is He mentioning that? Because I know how easy it is to have good intentions, but not to be in the Word of God. On a daily basis, there needs to be information. Genuine faith in God involves information. It also involves interaction. Not only knowing what is said, but knowing who said what is said. You see, I can hear someone say something, but if I don't know that person, then I don't know whether to believe them or not. If you've been on Facebook recently, you probably read a few things that, you're not going to believe this, they weren't true, okay? Just give you a little inside information. There are some things that are there on social media, and you hear on the radio, and see on television, and read in a book, and hear other people say, you know what, it's not all true. Some of it's true, but you've got to know who said it. And they need to know who said it. We've got to trace it back. So there needs to be a relationship with God. In order for there to be true faith, genuine faith in God, there must be a relationship with God through experiencing Him. Experiencing Him, listening to Him, realizing that I'm not just reading the words on a page, I am listening to the very voice of the Creator of the universe, the one who came up with the idea of motherhood. And God is speaking to you. He's not just speaking to me so that I can share some scripture with you. No, He's speaking to me on a daily basis, things that I may never say to you. And He's speaking to you in the Scriptures. Relating with God, realizing this is a personal thing. Just like you relate to your child, or you relate to your mother, or you relate to someone else. Experiencing God and exposing ourselves to God. God knows everything about us. The Bible says that everything is naked and transparent and open before God. He's the one that we will answer to. He's the one with whom we have to do. But God wants us to open up to Him. He already knows, but He wants us to be open and honest and say, God, I'm struggling. Lord, speak to me in your word. Here's what I'm battling with. I'm trying to be a good mom. I'm trying to grow. I want to be a mom one day. Or maybe it's, Lord, my mothering days are kind of over. How can I be a mom at this stage of my life? How can I be a grandmother? And then there's implementation. Genuine faith involves implementation, applying what is said, putting into effect what I have learned in coming and opening myself up before God and allowing Him to speak to me and allowing Him to hear who I am and what is going on in my heart and my mind, and then taking what I learn and applying it in my life in a realistic way. Not just saying, that is wonderful and that's what I want to be, and then forgetting about it, but saying, God, how can I put this into practice in my life? I want to do that. That's my heart. And of course, that all begins with faith, doesn't it? That relationship with God is non-existent unless there has been salvation. Mom, have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? And again, not just knowing the gospel. We're doing a study in the book of Galatians. Gospel-centered. But we can know all about the gospel. We can explain the gospel. Our brother Sonny Apple, I've heard his testimony a few times. And Sonny shares that he was a counselor at camp, and a camper came and said, I want to get saved. And Sonny said, I can tell you how to get saved, but I'm not saved myself. You can know the gospel and not be saved. You've got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that He died for your sins, and rose again. Are you willing to receive Him as your Savior and be made a new creation? He said, I'm going to change your life, so don't say yes unless you really mean it. He's not just a fire escape. He's come to help you escape from this present evil age, as we read in Galatians chapter 1. You see, genuine motherhood is a life of faith in God. You get that? A life of faith in God. Not just a moment of faith in God. It starts with a moment. It starts with believing on the Lord Jesus as our Savior. But that just begins our walk of faith. That walk will ultimately be fulfilled in heaven. Because guess what? When you get to heaven, you don't have to walk by faith anymore. It's going to be all by sight then. We're going to see the Lord Jesus. We're going to be with Him forever. We're going to be forever with the Lord. But you know, every step of the way is a step of faith. Mothers, I want to encourage you. Thank you, mothers, who are exemplifying before us a life of faith. As I thought about what I'm going to share this morning, I was really thankful for that medley of songs that the quartet chose to sing. You notice the theme, I hope. Grace. Grace. Getting what we don't deserve. Getting something good that we don't deserve. You know what? And we're going to be talking about three characteristics this morning that you can't do these things, and I can't do these things in my own strength. No, it's by the grace of God. And mothers, the only way to really live this life of faith, a faith that believes God in such a way that your children and your grandchildren and other children will look at you when you will see this woman has a genuine faith. She really believes God. She really believes what He says in the Bible. How do I know that? Because I can see by the way she lives. I can see what she's doing. I can see the decisions she's making. I can see her attitude. Is she perfect? No. That's where the grace comes in too, right? We're so thankful for the grace of God. It's marvelous. It's amazing. It's sufficient. It's just what you need, mothers. It's just what we need, what we all need. For by grace we're saved through faith. It's not of ourselves. It's the gift of God so that no one can boast. Genuine faith. A genuine faith in God. Look with me very quickly for a transition here to where I told you we were going to look. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy 1:5 parallels with 1 Timothy 1:5, because they both have this noun faith coupled with this adjective genuine, or in the Greek, unhypocritical. Notice here in verse 5, Paul again writing to Timothy earlier in both of their lives, and he has charged him earlier in this chapter to stay in Ephesus and to correct some people. And notice what he says in verse 5. Now the purpose of the commandment is love. Catch that. Love from, number one, a pure heart. Number two, a good conscience. And notice number three, sincere faith. It's the same in the Greek as genuine faith in 2 Timothy 1:5. Exactly the same, translated here with two different adjectives, but the same word. So here is our segue into our second word with genuine. You're going to find it in two places. We're going to go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Now, these other occurrences of the word genuine are not in the context of motherhood specifically, but they're in the context of the Christian life. And so we're speaking here this morning specifically to mothers and grandmothers and all of us who know the Lord Jesus. And again, if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you can trust Him right now while I'm talking and you're sitting. You can believe on the Lord Jesus. You can receive Him as your Savior and be brought in to the family of God. That's a beautiful parallel with Mother's Day. Notice here in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, and look at verse 9. He brings it out right here in the very first phrase of this verse. Let love be without hypocrisy. You could say, and be actual in the Greek, let love be genuine. Have a genuine love. You know, a mother's love for her children is a very natural thing. In Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 15, God uses Isaiah to prophesy, to speak for him, speak for God, and ask this question, can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. You know, it's natural, it's normal for a mother to love her children. Of course, we hear of those unusual cases where that's not true. Or at least it's not acted out. Love being an action, not just an emotion. I have a friend, I went to elementary school with him, I went to high school with him, graduated, and we've kind of kept up off and on over the years, and I was with him this past week. We had lunch together one day. And he was sharing some things with me that I didn't know. He's got a daughter. She's in college now. And he was telling me about her mother. And her mother, early in this little girl's life, signed over her parental rights to my friend. And then had very, very little to do with her daughter to this day. You know, I can't understand that. I can't relate to that. But that happens sometimes. But that's unusual. That's the exception. That's not the rule. A mother's love for her children is natural, and it's needed. It's needed desperately. The well-being of a child, and I don't care how old you are, that mom who's been a mom for 74 years, I won't call out the name of her child who must be 74 years old, but he's sitting back there too. You know, he needs his mother's love as much as that little one-year-old from the mother who's been the newest mother. But you know what? A mother's love for her children, though it's natural and needed, it's not the most important person a mother should love. No, the most important person a mother should love is of course, God. Love for God is desiring and doing what is best for God. That might sound a little bit funny. As I think about what love is, and that's the way I like to define love, love is desiring the best and doing the best for the person that is loved. And if you love your child, Mom, you're going to do what's best for that child, right? As well as desire that. If you love your mother, you're going to hopefully desire to do what's best for her, and then you're going to do what's best for her. And it's the same thing with God. God is a relational being. And He desires that we love Him. Guess what? He can survive without our love. But He desires our love. He desires that type of relationship. A relationship in which we truly desire the best for God. And then we seek to do that. Let's think for just a few moments about a genuine love for God. And let's think of four things about that love. First of all, a genuine love for God is a response to love from God. We've recently completed a study in 1 John. And you may remember in chapter 4, we read this in verse 10. And this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation, the acceptable sacrifice for our sins. The satisfactory payment for our sins. He said that's really what love is. But then He goes on a few verses later, verse 19, to say this. We love Him because He first loved us. That's why we love God. If He had not sent His Son for us, we would not have a love relationship with God. And if you know God personally through the Lord Jesus, and you truly desire what is best for God, what would best please God, what would best honor God, what would best glorify God, if that is your heart, that comes as a response to God's love for you. Another thing about genuine love for God. A genuine love for God is greater than love for anyone or anything else. It's interesting, the words of the Lord Jesus regarding this in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 37. He who loves father or mother more than Me is not worthy of Me. And he who loves son or daughter more than Me is not worthy of Me. That's not a verse that you normally would share on Mother's Day. But it brings out that point, doesn't it? If I love my child more than I love God, something's wrong. If I love my mother more than I love God, something's amiss. That's not genuine love for God. Genuine love for God is the basis for love to others. We read over in 1 Peter 1:22, another time that this adjective and this noun are used together in the Greek. 1 Peter 1:22, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren. Love one another fervently with a pure heart. Here we have a genuine love for other believers. And 1 John 4:21 says, this commandment we have from God, that he who loves God must love his brother also. It's the basis for loving others. And finally, as we've already seen, it's grounded in genuine faith. The purpose of Paul's commandment was love from sincere or genuine faith. You see, genuine motherhood is a labor of love for God. Mothers, your mothering began with labor, didn't it? You went into labor, just like Eunice did, and Lois had done before her, all the way back to Eve. Women have been going into labor and having those pains and that suffering in childbirth, and then bringing forth from that a child. Some of those children didn't live very long. Some never made it to the point of labor pains. And our hearts go out to you mothers that have lost a baby. But many of those children have been born. And now, mothers, as you seek to be a genuine mother, with a genuine love for God, we know that it's a labor of love. A labor of love. It's a work. But it's a work in grace. It's not a work in our own strength, but rather it's a work that we do by the grace of God. By the grace of God. 2 Corinthians 6:6 is another reference, if you'd like to see that word, that sincere love, that genuine love. And Paul said, that's one way that I evidence to you, and that Timothy and I evidence to you, Corinthians, that we were truly of God because of our genuine love. So we have a genuine faith in God as part of genuine motherhood, and it's exemplifying. And then also we find that it's displayed through a genuine love for God. And then finally, through a genuine wisdom from God. And so we're going to go to James chapter 3 and verse 17. Those of you who have been in a life group studying the book of James, you have fairly recently looked at this verse. Hopefully it's still fresh on your mind. This section regarding wisdom from above and wisdom from beneath. James chapter 3. You know, wisdom is vital for mothering, isn't it? You know, mothers give you good counsel, like eat your vegetables, they're good for you. Or if you're too full to finish your dessert, if you're too full to finish your dinner, you're too full for dessert. I think Renji and I had a conversation about that the other night, didn't we, brother? We decided that, he said it's like the Red Sea parting. You know, you're full, and then you see something sweet, and then the Red Sea parts. Oh, yeah, I got room for the dessert. Yeah, bring it on. But mom still, she has a lot of wisdom. And she probably told you, when you have your own children, you'll understand. When you have your own children, you'll understand. And we could go on with the vital wisdom of mothering. And I would say that every mother has wisdom. Every mother has wisdom. The question is, what is the source of the wisdom? Notice here in James chapter 3 and verse 17, he says this, starts with the word but in contrast, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, and last but not least, and without hypocrisy. Again, a genuine wisdom. Same word in the Greek here that we've had translated genuine or sincere or unhypocritical. And now it's coupled with the noun wisdom. What is wisdom from God? I'd like to suggest that wisdom from God is a divine ability to properly evaluate and apply knowledge. To be able to take information and to evaluate that information from God's perspective, and then to apply it in God's way. That is genuine wisdom from God. Proverbs 2:6 says, "For the Lord gives wisdom." Genuine wisdom comes from God. Let's look very quickly at several things about this genuine wisdom. First of all, we find that it's contrasted with the wisdom of the world. We won't take time to look there, but you can make a note of 1 Corinthians 1, verses 20 and 21. Where we read a question, rhetorical question, has God not made foolish the wisdom of this world? Kim was sharing with me something she read yesterday. That was very much the wisdom of the world. And maybe you've heard it. And you're going to say, oh, I wish I'd have known that a long time ago. There are some folks that are working with young families who have children from birth to 3 years old. And they are saying now that you need to have the consent of your baby before you change his or her diaper. So obviously the child can't say yes or no, but you watch for body language. I'm thinking, what? I'm not even sure that the world would want to claim that wisdom. But that's an example. That's an extreme example of worldly wisdom, wisdom of this world. And the wisdom from God is contrasted with that. So we have to look and discern, is what I am seeking to apply in my mothering, in my grandmothering, in my life, is it of God or is it of the world? Then it gets worse, you see. Genuine wisdom from God is contrasted with the wisdom of the devil. Notice here in verse 15 about the wisdom that does not descend from above. Look at how it's described here by James. It's earthly, it's sensual, it's demonic. It's demonic. You see, the devil has wisdom too. The devil has his ways of wanting you to evaluate knowledge and then apply that knowledge, but that's not of God. But another thing we find out here from James is that genuine wisdom from God is acquired by asking God in faith. If you want to turn the page or two back, look at James chapter 1, very familiar verses, I hope. In verse 5, we read this: if any of you lacks wisdom, let him or her ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But there's a connection here. We saw the connection between faith and love in 1 Timothy 1:5. And now here in James 1, 5 and 6, we see a connection with wisdom and faith. But let him or her ask in faith with no doubting. You see, we come full circle with this genuine faith. And the goal of the commandment, a genuine love that comes from a genuine faith. And now we have, in order to receive this genuine wisdom from God, I've got to ask with genuine faith. Believing that God wants me to have that wisdom. Mothers, let me assure you, God wants you to have a divine wisdom that's not available from yourself, your own flesh, not available from the world, not available from the devil. Is only going to come from the Word of God as you take that in and as you expose yourself to other mothers who were teaching the younger women to love their husbands and to love their children, and you expose yourself to them and allow that knowledge and that wisdom that they have gained from coming before God and crying out to God, God, I'm trying to raise these children. I'm trying to be an effective grandmother. I'm trying to honor you with my life. Please give me your wisdom. I cannot do it on my own. And God loves that humble spirit. In 1 Corinthians 1:30, we read that Christ Jesus, for the believer, has become for us wisdom from God. It's in the Lord Jesus. It's in knowing Him. It's in allowing Him to come in and take control of your life by His Holy Spirit and live His life out through you, and that fruit of the Spirit can be seen and evidenced by your children as they watch you and they spend time with you. And what you do and the way that you speak and the decisions that you make are going to impact your children even more than the things that you tell them. Wisdom. A true wisdom. A genuine motherhood. A life of faith in God. A labor of love for God. A lesson of wisdom from God. As we close this morning and our brother David comes up and plays a hymn, I just want to leave you with two things to do during this time of quietness. First, I want you to thank God for any of these characteristics, genuine faith, genuine love, or genuine wisdom that you have seen in your mother. In any way, you be gracious with your mom today, okay? Maybe she wasn't perfect. I can guarantee you she wasn't perfect because no mother is. Do you see any of these things in her life? If you do, thank God for that. And then secondly, ask God to convict you to yield to His development of all three of these in your life as a mother or as anything you are, a grandmother, a father, an aunt, an uncle, a friend, a teacher, a learner. I want to close with that. We'll close in prayer, and then as David plays one verse, if you would thank God and ask God those two things between you and Him. Happy Mother's Day. Appreciate all you mothers so much. Thank you for your genuine faith, your genuine love, your genuine wisdom. And we thank God for you. Father, we thank you for the time we've had together this morning. Again, a great blessing to come together and to enjoy singing your praises and Father, having a good time finding out who the mother with the oldest child and the one who's the newest mother and the one with the most children. Father, we just thank you for that. We praise you for Lois, for Eunice, Lord, that you would choose to put their names in the Scripture. The only time we find them there in the Bible, and yet it's very important. Lord, they had a genuine faith, and that word has taken us to genuine love and genuine wisdom. Lord, thank you for making these things possible through the Lord Jesus. He is our wisdom. Our faith is in Him. He is love. Father, we pray that we, each one, will leave this place with a greater appreciation for our mothers, and because of that, a greater appreciation for you. And also, Father, with a greater desire to honor you with our lives through our faith, through our love, and through our wisdom, that you might receive the glory. Father, it's all of your grace, and we thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.